and only precious daughter just got engaged. Of course, Jenny is our chief financial officer in the church. She runs our Sunday school, which is why she's back there. Jenny and our praise and worship leader are getting married. So we've got a band in perpetuity because they've married into it. Jenny and Pups, give us a wave of the hands. There they are back there. Congratulations. Be sure to congratulate them on that. When are they getting married? Just as soon as we can pull it off. I don't know when that'll be. Maybe June-ish or so-ish. We're not sure. But reminder of the children's play at 5:30 tonight. That would be great. 5 o'clock. It's a bait and switch this morning. I was supposed to fly out of town. Had to cancel those plans because of things on the other end out in California. And I had asked my brother Dwayne to share God's word with us this morning. My flight got canceled, so no pressure on him. But his senior pastor will be on the front row critiquing every word he says, of course. Looking forward to it. Heavenly Father, I ask your richest and greatest blessings upon Pastor Dwayne, that you would encourage his heart, that you would speak to him, speak through him, that he would be overfilled with love and joy and peace and patience this morning as he ministers to your sheep, Heavenly Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Dwayne. I love you, buddy.
I honestly think it's a great honor to have Pastor Jim sitting in the front row. I was kind of excited to find out he got canceled, and I thought, cool, maybe he'll preach. We'll all be good. I'm going to make you a couple promises here. One, I won't be long. Two, I won't be boring. One, I won't be boring, because anytime you're in the Word of God, you can never be boring. Number two, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 hours is just a small slot in eternity. So we got all kinds of time. We're doing good. But I'm going to need a couple things from you guys. You know, looking at 2020 has been one of them years like you go, whoa. All right? And I think one of the things the devil likes to do, he likes to bring up our past. So this morning I ask you to leave your past and your sin at the door. It's not welcome in your life no more. All right? Christ died to remove that. The devil brings it up. Let's keep those things outside. Let's focus in on Jesus today. And the second thing I need to do, I need you to give me the name Jesus.
Jesus!
Come on.
Jesus.
Let's do it again. One more time.
Jesus.
Oh, Jesus, more than ever, we need you. We need your spirit. We need your wisdom. We need your guidance. How do we say thank you for the God coming to earth to save us? Father, I need your Holy Spirit upon me, that you would guide me, strengthen me. Let my words be yours in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh. Two greatest times in man's history: the birth of Jesus and the resurrection. You can't have one without the other. And when he came here the first time, he knew how he was going out. He was going out on that cross for a simple reason. He didn't want to leave you behind. When he was born, he knew what he was going through. He took the commitment of the cross by showing up in a manger. What a powerful statement. God with us. As we're reading the Luke chapter 2, the sermon today, I'm calling it The Innkeeper. The Innkeeper. It's hard to believe that God would become flesh and dwell among us. But at this time that we celebrate the birth of Christ, we see prophecy answered time and time and time again from the virgin birth, born in Bethlehem. Son of David, son of Jesse, son of God, Lamb of God. It's amazing when I started reading this, and every time I turned around and footnote said, another prophecy fulfilled, all pointing to Christ. And the next event will be the greatest event coming up, and that's the return of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. I think the problem with the church today is we got our eyes off the cross. The whole point of this year was to focus. And I see people focusing on fear and defeat, even in the church. I don't understand how today that people come up to me and they want to argue about the abortion issue when they're born again, or the gay movement, or smoking dope, or getting drunk, or getting high. I'm like, where does the church get this from? Why am I having a conversation with people on the job that said, hey, Christ bought you, so you don't have to live that way no more. But I'm having these arguments, and I'm shaking my head, and I go, don't you know who Jesus is? Don't you know why he came? Not because he is bored. So as we focus in at the end of this year, I want to start reading out of Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census took place while Cornelius was governor at Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was without child. Bethlehem, house of bread. That's what it means. Gave you the bread of life. The manna which came down from heaven. According to John 6:35, we know now he is the bread of life. But how much do we take of the word of God and feed ourselves? How much do we take the seriousness of what's going on around us? I hear everybody telling me, wow, 2021 is going to be a better year. Are you sure? Are you sure? I sure hope it is. But I understand what some of the Bible says. Pastor's already talked about, you know, Matthew, where it talks about pestilence, nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom. I sure hope 2021 is a better year. But I tell you this, it doesn't matter if it is or if it isn't, if we got Jesus. It doesn't matter if it is or if it isn't, if you're focused on the cross. The problem is we got our focus on the news, on our cell phones. So I decided, you know, looking at the church, a lot of us have lost our sight. I hear people saying their vision's perfect. So if your vision is perfect, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you glasses like this. See that? You see the cross? That's what I want you to focus on. If your sight is bad, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'll take your glasses and I'll take a permanent marker and I'll put a cross over it so we got our eyesight in the right place. I'm tired of seeing Christians living in defeat and getting beat up and fear every time they touch the door. God said the just shall live by what? We walk faith by faith. Where's the church at today? Where are we at? Every one of you is my brothers and sisters, if you receive Christ. But why is the church so divided? I can understand the world be divided. I cannot, for the life of me, understand why I go up to a brother in Christ and he looks at me and says, you don't belong to the same church I belong to. What? Really? Is that how we got divided? Didn't he die so we would be united? Didn't he die so we wouldn't have to live in fear? Where's the joy in the church? Where's the joy? Luke 2:6. So it was that while they were there, the days were complete for her deliverer. How about our deliverer? How about our Redeemer? To me, this is a time in history that not only the angels should have shouted, but every man on this planet said, here is the King of Kings. Where was the honor given to Christ on his birth? On his cross? Where was it? Every Christian today should have a smile on their face walking out their door and joy in their hearts to celebrate the King of Glory who came down to take my sin, to take our sin. Where's the church? One thing about us Carters, we're kind of blunt. My sister happens to be in the front row. So, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. Wow. If they knew the King of Glory was there, would they have made room? If they knew who it was that came down to earth, every one of us is an innkeeper. Every one of us is an innkeeper in our heart. We have a choice. We either can accept him in or leave him in the cold. But we don't want just, he doesn't want a little piece. He doesn't want to just to enter. He wants all of you. He wants all of your heart. How much do we give him? We are innkeepers. What we do with them is up to us. Do we let them in a little bit and then push them back out the door? This is the stuff I see. I work on the job site, and it gets pretty rough out there. Sometimes I've had people come up to me because there's other Christians, and we'll walk around. I don't want to talk about football. I don't. I want to talk about what God is doing. I want to talk about Jesus. And there's times we have a real good conversation. One day, an iron worker walked up. He goes, "Oh, man, it's so pleasant to hear you guys talk. Thank you." But other times, I see other Christians walk around. Things come out of their mouth. I'm like, "Hey, time, whoa, whoa, whoa. I thought you were born again." I had a guy flip me off not long ago, joking around. I go, "Time out. What in Christ was that?" And he started laughing. I go, no. What in Jesus was that? Foul language shouldn't come out of a Christian's mouth. Temperament shouldn't come out of a Christian's mouth. Watching women walk around shouldn't be in your eyes. Where have we fallen to? I think God had a lot more in plan for us. But I think it takes us to pick up our manna and read. Jim said it at the beginning of the year. He said, "You know, God has us wanting to focus this year. We're focusing on the wrong things, people. We're focusing in on the chaos around us instead of what he's done. I promise you, some of us turn off the news. I guarantee you there'll be more joy. Turn on that radio. Get a little worship going. Get a little dance in your step." The other day I got up and I just decided to worship. And I finally realized that I could take my phone, and I thought, my sound bar is a Bluetooth. And I was listening to this little speaker, but I wanted louder. I like to crank my worship up so the people walking by can hear it. That's how loud I was. So I start cranking up a little bit, and I'm waiting for Gaylene saying, "That's too loud." I guess she didn't have her hearing aids in. So I crank it up a little more, and I worship. I thought I'd worship for about a half hour. Turned in an hour, and I go, "You know what, I got another 15 minutes. And my wife came in. She goes, "Oh, you scared the dog, but sounded really good." I was like, "Cool, that worked out well." We need to focus in on a little closer on Jesus. Folks, time is short. I'm praying that 2021 would be an awesome year. But the way I'm praying is people get saved. The church wakes up. The glory is given back where it's due to Jesus. That's my prayer. I figured if everything goes really bad, I'm in the same boat with you guys. But you know what? If I lost everything and still had Jesus, I have more than the whole world. Didn't God tell Jeremiah, "I am your exceedingly great reward"? He is. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Let us continue. Luke 2:8. Now they were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good news." I think that word should be changed, great news. Great news. Oh, good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people. You know, everybody looks at me and they said, "You know, Dwayne, the reason you have joy is you didn't have the problems like the rest of us." I'm like, "Really? Oh, yeah, your life's a piece of cake. You don't have problems." I don't. I hear this a lot from Christians. They go, "You are so happy you have no problems. If you have 5 kids, you got problems." Yeah. Honestly. If you have kids, you have problems. Life's full of problems. So I'm just going to give you a little peek into my past. In 2019, I had emergency surgery. Pastor Jim and Kathy were so gracious to pray for me. I went in thinking I was going to get a shot. And they said, "You got to go to the hospital. You got to go now. You got to have emergency surgery." I'm like, "Great." So he called for an ambulance. I was at the emergency room on Powers. Sent me over to Memorial. They said, "Yep, we got to get you in. We got to have surgery now." Okay, so God, why do you have me here? It has to be to witness. What other reason would he send me to a hospital for? So I witnessed to the nurses, doctors, and everything else. They put a tube in me. I'm like, "All right." I leave the hospital, and a couple months later, comes back. I got to have another emergency surgery. This time, my wife can't go in with me. COVID. Everybody's panicked. I go, "Baby, I'm fine. I got God." Death should never be, we should never fear, ever. To me, it's a promotion. Amen. I go to glory. I'm like, someone came up to me and they go, "Were you afraid? Did you ever think you were going to die?" No, I really didn't. Didn't really care. I just wanted to focus on what God wanted me to do. So the only thing I figured was, "Hey, you got me here for surgery to witness." So I wasn't afraid of it. So then I leave the hospital, and they say, "You're going to have another surgery." Well, great. Joy. I finally get that surgery after COVID. Then I'm at work one day, and I walk down the steps, step on the rock, and boom, tear a tendon on the outside of my foot and the inside of my foot. Complete tear on the outside. Right away, I hear pop, pop. And I'm like, "Yeah, that probably isn't too good." I said, "I'm all right." Did a push-up, stood up, and I said, "Nope." Sat down, pulled off my boot, called my boss, and off I went back to the doctor. I was like, "Great." Someone said, "You think God wants you to slow down?" I'm going to run this race as hard as I can. "Jim, I'm going to try to outbeat you. I'm shooting for that marker. I'm going for that finish line. I want to finish strong in Christ." So then I learned some valuable lessons during those times. You know, I always thought it was a washer and dryer shrinking my clothes. Found out it was a refrigerator. You can laugh all you want to, but you're going to find that out too. When you're slowed down laying on the couch, I was thinking, "I hate that washer and dryer." Now I'm thinking I need to go to Germany and get me one of them tiny fridges. Because that boy finds out if he's home by that fridge, I eat way too much. Unfortunately. Things we learn. Seems simple. And then, March, my dad passed away. Loved my dad. He helped me make me who I am. People say, "You lose faith in God?" No. Why? My vision was correct, Pastor. You told me to keep watching, keep my eyes focused. My vision was right. I miss my dad every day. But he left my mom, who's 84 years old and doesn't drive. An old German, and she's cranky. I love my mom, but she's cranky. I can't be there enough, and sometimes I look up and I say, "God, is this my cross to bear right now? What do I do?" You know, I love my mom. But there's days I pray, I say, "Father, it's hard going over there. I love her with all my heart. And then, you know, when my dad died, they had COVID in the nursing home. Work says stay home. You know what's the problem staying home? The refrigerator's still there. I'm like, this is getting tiresome. So just like you guys, I've had all the trials as everybody else. But I am happy. I have joy. Pastor, I have peace. There's peace. Doesn't matter what you go through. If you're in Christ, there is peace. Luke 2:11. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. There's no better news than that. None. I smile every time I read that. For there is born to you this day, to you, this day, in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was angels, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards man. Well, how powerful is that? I would have probably been like the shepherds then. But today, if the heavenly choir breaks forth, I'm breaking forth into joy too. I'm giving them glory. That the King of glory may come in. Peace comes from a personal relationship with Jesus. John 14:27 says, peace I leave you. My peace. This is the Son of God. If he says it, you can bank on it. There is no other name out there which man can be saved. Jesus said, hey, peace I leave you with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives to you, I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let's go on in 2021 victorious, shall we? He's already won the victory. He's already rose again. We can walk in victory every day. Doesn't matter how bad it gets. We got this thing. We got it. Just stay focused. If you need my glasses, you can have them. You want a pair in different color? I'll make you a pair. All right? Stay focused on Jesus. Luke 2:15. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven. Boy, that's my home. I'm just passing through. That the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them and seen, as it was told them concerning this child. Isn't that our job? Jesus has rose again. Jesus loves you. That's our job to proclaim. Not just the shepherds. Because you know what? We're sheep. Let's go forth and share the good news. Jesus loves you. The beautiful part is I'm not responsible for their reaction. I thank God that pressure isn't on me. I plant, someone waters, glory to God, he gives the increase. But if you're not planting even to your own family, how do you expect the increase? I know people that won't even witness to their mom and dad. Are you born again? Yeah. Why won't you witness to them? That's not my job. Oh, yeah, it is. Why would God send me if you live there? Interesting. I get that all the time. Not my job. Yeah. Too many of us have given up on prayer. Praying for our lost loved ones. Why? I got 5 kids. None of them right now are serving God. My job is to focus on that, not what's going around me. I believe God has his hands in it. I'll let God worry about my kids. I'll worry about Dwayne. I got enough problems on my own. I love my kids. But I place them in God's hands so I can focus right. Luke 2:18. And to all those that heard, it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. I only got about 20 more pages. We're doing good. But Mary kept all these sayings and pondered them in her heart. You know, I always heard that song, Mary, Did You Know? I guarantee she didn't know he was going to the cross. I guarantee she didn't know the beating he was going to take. Can you imagine? It's a good thing God doesn't show us the future. Honestly. It's a good thing that God keeps me focused on today, because I don't want to know what's coming. I just, the only thing I want to know is coming is Christ my Lord. That's all I want to focus on. Mary didn't know everything Jesus was going to go through. Rejected by man, man of sorrow, whipped, beaten. All she knows was that was her baby. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. Our church's job, that the King of glory may come in. That's our job. To glorify him, to praise him. That's our job. Everywhere we go. I'm on the job singing that song. That song's been stuck in my head all week, and I love it. And one of the guys goes, singing isn't your forte. No, but you know what? Those clouds. Sounds good to him. Those are filters. They're filters. I don't care what anybody says. I want to change now over to the wise men from the east. Matthew chapter 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." Oh, worship. Wise men still seek him. Wise men still worship him. I get excited about the Lord. It's my favorite subject. I love talking to Jim. When me and Jim talk, we talk about Jesus and what God's doing. I love our conversations. He helps build me up. I can tell if someone's on fire from God the moment I meet them. Seen the guy on the job site one day, and I thought, I'm going to go witness to him. So I go up to him. He's by himself. He's an electrician. Start talking to him. He goes, "Dude, I'm a pastor." I go, "Great." We sat there. By the time we were done talking, we were both in tears in our eyes. Pastor Charles loves Jim, or Jesus. I'm like, fantastic. We're still friends today. But you know what? When we got together, we didn't want to talk work. We wanted to talk Jesus. That's what I want to talk about. I don't really care who wins the game today. You know, I went to work the other day, and I guess the Raiders played somebody, and they lost. And one of the guys on the job said, he's a Christian, and talking about the Raider game. I keep trying to change the subject. I'm trying to change the subject. Can we talk about Jesus? He goes, "Yeah, I've been noticing you've been trying to change something." I don't care about a football game. Come on, what is God doing in your life? He's still the King of glory. Still the King of glory. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered the chief priests, the scribes, the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophets, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are you the least among the rulers of Judah? For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.'" If you receive Christ, you're his people. He is the great shepherd. He's got this. I promise you, he'll never let you go through more than you can bear. You know why? He loves you. But you know what? He knows what's best for you. Sometimes you might ask why. I've learned not to ask why. I just say, thank you. I'll make this too. We'll pass. I always ask him, let me learn this lesson quickly because I'm hard-headed. Most time it takes me two or three times and I'm tired of going around the mountain. You know what I'm saying? I am so tired of going around. Like, can I learn it the first time? Help me out. Thank you, Jesus. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me back word to me that I may come and worship him also. This guy's pathetic. The only thing he's worried about is what he has, what he's leaving behind. He doesn't want another king. Only thing he doesn't realize, this is the King of Kings. He doesn't want that little podunk kingdom. This is the King of Kings. He doesn't want our gold and our money. He walks on it. It's pavement. Everybody's afraid of what God wants from you. He wants your heart. If he has your heart, he has everything else. What are you afraid to lose? Your addiction, your drugs, your alcohol, pornography, your foul mouth, your temperament? What are you afraid to lose? He's the King of Kings. His kingdom will last forever. Finally, there will be justice and love. I've waited a long time for this. Oh, come Lord Jesus. Oh, boy. Matthew 2:8. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for this young child. And when you find him, bring him back word to me that I may worship him. What a snake in the grass. When they had heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them until it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with joy. When you meet Jesus, you don't have no choice. There's joy. When they met Jesus, all of our lives we've been searching for something. That's Jesus. Man, those wise men were kind of smart, you know. They saw him, they put a smile on their face. We have seen the King of Kings. What a powerful thing. I like them guys. I think we could have been friends. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child and Mary, his mother, fell down and worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures, their presents to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. True worship of Christ is to be willing to give him the things that is most valuable to you. How about we lay down our lives? That's what he wants. How about we give him our hearts? How about we turn over our sins this year, our unforgiveness, our bitterness, and give it to him as a present and say, I will not live there anymore. I'll leave it at the door. Isn't that a beautiful present to give the Lord? He owns everything else. The only thing we can give him is our worship. And you are worthy. There is none like you. You are worthy. Thank you, Jesus. I can't say thank you enough. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. One of the amazing things when I always read this is how the wise men know. I figured while Daniel, Meshach, and Abednego and them were stuck in the east for a while, maybe there are writings we don't know, but I know this. God is concerned about every soul in the world because he says he wished none would be lost. So it doesn't surprise me here that they knew Do you know why? Because they sought him out. They knew there was something better. See, there's only one Savior. Said, in the city of David, a Savior is born. There's only one, and it's Christ the Lord. Nobody else can save you. Nobody else died for you. Nobody else rose from the dead. Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Gosh. If people only knew. The journey, Pastor, has been a long one going through this life. But the more I live, the more I'm sure glad he's in my life. Because you know what? I found out happiness is temporary, but joy lasts for a lifetime. You think I'm wrong? If I give you $100 right now, you'd be happy. But if you walked out that door and the wind blew it away, you'd be instantly sad or upset. But joy is something that stays with you. The joy of the Lord is our strength. This holiday season, let's spread a little joy, a little love, compassion. Huh. We seem to decorate the trees, the houses, with a lot of lights, but it seems to me some of our lights are going dim. Seems like some of the oil is gone. Some of the fire's left. But you can rekindle it. You can rekindle it. Let's get that fire back. Let's get the oil back in the lamp. See, the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. Why were they foolish? They didn't have enough oil. Why were they wise? Because they prepared for his coming. They didn't let the light go dim. Let's not let the light go dim. Let's not let it go out. Get back in your word and focus on that. And I promise you, you'll have joy. You'll have peace. You won't care what the news says. When's the last time you heard good news on a news station? I got good news. Christ crucified for your sins. Christ rose again. He loves you. Isn't that good news? That's good news. Come on, let's share some good news this year. Let's bring it. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes for a minute. And I want to ask you guys something. Just between you and God. Are you tired of being tired? Are you sick of the way the world's going? Do you need Jesus in your heart? Do you need to make a fresh commitment to Jesus? If you do, I want you to raise your hand. Reach up to heaven. Raise your hand. That's what we need, huh? What I want you to do, I want all of you to come down. I want you to come down here with me. We're going to pray. If you raise your hand, come down. Come down to the altar. Jim, come up front. We're going to pray. You can stay right there. We'll lay hands on you right where you're at. Bob. We're going to pray for a fresh anointing, a fresh outpouring. We're going to pray for a little bit of joy. Amen. All right? A little bit of strength. A little bit of peace. Pastor, I want you to lead this prayer for me, my brother.
Lord of heaven and earth, we commit ourselves into your hands and ask that you would fill us with the joy of Christmas afresh. Forgive us our backslidings, Lord. Forgive us where we've kept you at arm's distance. Forgive us our sins, Lord. Lord of glory, bring us back to the foot of the cross as humble little children, adoring the King of kings and Lord of lords. We are here to recommit ourselves into your hands. Save us, Lord, now and forever, and help us to walk in that freedom of salvation. Free us from our drugs, our addictions, our whatever they might be that keep us at distance from you. Forgive us and remove it this day as we give it to you, the present that Dwayne was talking about. We leave it at the door. We walk in the fullness of your Holy Spirit. Fill us afresh, overflowing, Lord. Fill us with glory, with love and joy. And peace and patience this year, in Jesus' precious name.
Amen. Amen. Hey, can we get the worship team out here? Usher us in.
I love you guys. Let's worship.
Can we go out this year with serious hearts of worship? Bob, I want to lay hands on you. Bob here could really use a physical touch. And I think I'm going to remove this.